Hello. All right. We're recording.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, it is Wednesday, December 8th, 6:10 p.m. We'll call our UW Extension Planning and Development Committee meeting to order. Just for attendance purposes, Supervisors Gashke and Beth are here, and Youth and Governance Board is here. So good to have all of you here tonight. And again, thanks for your flexibility as we're working through some tech and staffing issues. Okay, this meeting has been properly noticed according to Wisconsin Open Meetings Law. And so we're ready to jump right into our featured program tonight, Kenosha County Food Bank and Food Vice Linkages. Maybe before we do that though, maybe let's just quickly go around the room and just introduce ourselves. So, you know, who we are and our role. So I'm Daniel Gashke, serve on the Kenosha County Board. I chair this committee and District 7, which is really kind of the heart of old Kenosha, the very heart of the city of Kenosha, is my neighborhood, my district. So.
Fabiola Diaz, I'm an educator with the UW Division of Extension, and I have been in my role for about 20 plus years.
Fabiola is one of our nutrition educators, and she's co-presenting with me tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about the work we do. But I'm Amy Greil, and I am a community development educator with Extension.
Hello, I'm Terry Kinesi. I'm a 20-year resident of Kenosha County, but specific to tonight, I'm a board member of the Kenosha County Food Bank. So I'm here to kind of support the effort and give an additional voice if needed.
Great, thank you.
I'm Sandy Beth. County Board, and I'm District 19, which is Summers, Brighton, Harris, and Bristol.
And I'm Brooke Smith. I'm with the Youth and Governance, and also youth. I get to be here to help connect the youth of the county.
Very good. Well, let's go ahead and jump into agenda item number 2, then our featured program, and hear about our food presentation.
Yes. Thank you. Supervisor Gashke. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the work that I do in Extension and how that has evolved over 5 years to essentially birth a nonprofit called the Kenosha County Food Bank. So I'm going to tell a bit of a story of how Extension's been involved and how this organization of of now just 2 years, we've been at it, 21 months as a Kenosha County Food Bank, how we do our work and what we're all about. So with me today, I have a close colleague, also with Extension, Fabiola Diaz-Negrete, and we are going to talk a bit about that linkage between Extension and Kenosha County Food Bank. So to start with, I'll just say a little bit about what I do in Extension and how that has been informed by this work with Kenosha County Food Bank. So over the 10 years that I've been with Extension, community development has meant to me a lot of engagement with nonprofits. Nonprofits are perpetually in need of additional support and resources that they cannot necessarily contract for strategic planning, organizational development. I do succession planning. We do financial modeling. We can do, and I certainly do leadership development programs, all in the nonprofit space. So in that hat with Extension, I've worked for many years with food pantries and meal sites, and I've been kind of learning how those organizations function, and it's helped me certainly now in my role leading an independent nonprofit called the Kenosha County Food Bank. So it's kind of this reinforcing wheel of working with nonprofits and then starting one, and now really appreciating all that goes into running a nonprofit. Fabiola, do you want to talk a little bit about your work?
Sure. In my role as a bilingual nutrition educator in both Kenosha and Racine, like I said, for the past 23 years. And I had the opportunity to work in many areas of the community of Kenosha, different unions and nonprofits. We are a federally funded program, so we serve a lot of public schools, government programs, So I was invited by Amy to be part of the food deck board of directors as well. So I am kind of like wearing two hats the same way. And so it's been very eye-opening for me. You know, all of what we do is nutrition education and food budgeting and food safety. So that goes hand in hand with food bank, food pantries. And for us as educators to bring all the research-based information from the university to the food pantries, you know, and the people that live in your districts. So we've been able to reach out to thousands of people who, like, just 1 year, with a team of seven plus, well, sometimes there has been more than seven educators, but I'm just one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, so Fabiola brings the boots-on-the-ground experience of working with families in crisis, families that are accessing emergency food outlets and pantries and meal sites, and she's been doing that for 20-plus years. So I was really, I'm just so, I guess, impressed by the expertise that we have within our FoodWise team, and that's how Extension has once again added value to Kenosha County Food Bank. So let's get into it. So why are we talking about food security at all? As many of you can imagine, Kenosha County is one of the lowest ranked counties in the state for health outcomes. So that's obesity, heart disease, chronic stress. It comes from a resource called the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps. It's through the UW-Madison's Population Health Lab. It's an extensive website that I really encourage you to check out, but essentially it takes a lot of data around health impacts and outcomes and ranks all counties. Kenosha County historically has always been sort of in the bottom rung of this due to serious, I think, structures that keep people in compromised health situations. We also have a food insecurity crisis here of one in five children. One in five children in this county suffer from what's called food insecurity. That means they cannot control how much food they have, they cannot control the quality of food that they get. So it may look different than hunger and, you know, in sub-Saharan Africa, hunger looks very different than it does here. Here people may have access to food, but it's not healthy food, it's not food they opt to eat. So you see a lot of obesity, even in food insecure households. So it's a very complex challenge that we're encountering, but Kenosha County is also one of those perpetually like poor performers when it comes to food security in the state. So I wanted to bring it down into real numbers of individuals and households. So what does food security look like to families here in our own county? So this is real data taken from seven food pantries located in Kenosha County. There's just seven pantries that we'll be kind of leaning into today, but within January to March of this year, this is some of the data that they were able to collect of households accessing service. So Sharing Center out west of the I, so that's out in Trevor, they served roughly 1,200 households in 3 months, so 400 households a month. Shalom Center is the largest food pantry in the county. They served about 6,000 people in 3 months' time, so roughly 2,000 households or individuals are accessing services between those months per month. On down, you can see the totals. In a three-month period, roughly 14,000 households or individuals were accessing food pantries, 14,000 people. That translates to roughly 4,500 households. That encompasses the children, and they do an algorithm basically to figure out how many individuals, what does that translate into households. In any case, These are real numbers of real families that are struggling with food insecurity, essentially. So they're accessing emergency service providers to gain access to food. We like to think that we can do more than just food provisions at these establishments, and this is part of the reason that the Kenosha County Food Bank has been active, is because we can do more than just give bags of food at these pantries. We can serve as resource centers, getting them connected to emergency services for mental health, for transportation, for housing, for you name it. I mean, we can truly now, with a lever, potentially affect the service provisions and the referral systems that occur at these pantries. So that's what we're really after. When we look at pantries as more than food provision locations, and they become resource centers.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You just said that you do the different services, mental health and all that. Are you finding that the people that go to these food pantries are the ones mainly in need of the other services?
Absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely. So these research, time and again, for very, very consistent research, suggests that hunger is a symptom of chronic poverty. Hunger does not exist without a condition of poverty. So hunger is just one of many effects, essentially, of poverty. So that's often why people are coming into pantries, and they also carry with them issues of housing insecurity, of mental health conditions that are perhaps untreated, of structural problems that they may need resources for, but they don't know how to identify them, or they have barriers to accessing services. So yeah, food very almost never stands in isolation from other emergency service needs, if you will.
And Amy, can I interject a bit just to help us understand? Right now, the pantries have the responsibility to address all of those needs. And so oftentimes the most immediate need is food security and food supply. And that burden today in Kenosha County, unlike other counties of smaller size, is 100% the responsibility of the pantry, because a food bank hasn't existed in our community to do that optimization, to do that consolidation, and to take the biggest burden away from them, which is food security, so that they can focus on root cause issues like poverty, like job security, like mental health. So that's how it's so systemically linked, that you really have to have much more robust infrastructure in place to address the bigger issues.
Right, and that draws me.
Excuse me, but do you work with human services? Because I'm on human services too, with them to get financial aid, because we spend a lot of money, the county does, on human services, millions.
Absolutely.
You do.
Absolutely. Well, and that's why Extension is liaisoning with all of these seven pantries, but certainly they're well integrated into the job center, into ADRC, all the different structures, child support services. I mean, the best of the best pantries know what the county is providing and helps them get those referrals. But many other pantries simply don't know what's out there. They're giving you a bag of food and saying, see you next week. And people, certainly don't know where else to go or what else to do. So we can do better. Okay, so I know we're throwing a lot at you, but just bear with me. Here is a really important framework that we use when we talk about food security. So if you envision a table here, there's four legs to a table. What we know is that emergency food networks, such as pantries and food banks, that is an important component to food security, but it's simply one leg. All right, so even when we get the food bank fully optimized and working here in Kenosha County, there's only one leg. We need all four legs to truly protect community members from food insecurity, not knowing where their food is coming from, not being able to control for quantity or quality. Robust federal nutrition programs is a key leg of this table. We cannot protect youth and adults from food insecurity without ensuring that they have access to food share. In Wisconsin, food stamps is called food share. Opportunities for economic security. Everyone wants to be able to provide for themselves and their families without help from outside agencies. Ideally, we can insulate people from food insecurity if we offer opportunities for economic security. That's the biggest and most important one. And then finally, vibrant food systems. How do we allow people to find access to food? We know food deserts exist, some in perhaps your districts. So these are the four legs of the table we need to work around: retail food systems, economic security, federal nutrition programs. But today we're really looking at that emergency food network. So here's where we start telling a story. We've been jumping around a little bit here to tell you what is going on in Kenosha County and why there's a food insecurity issue. Where does Extension fit in, and why do we do the work we're doing? Well, 100 years ago, when Extension was founded in Kenosha County, 100 years we've been here, we've worked in agriculture and what was then called home economics. So we had our connection to food and to families even 100 years ago. In 1998, that was a big change federally when the USDA created SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program education. SNAP Ed is kind of that funding that goes into food share, so to speak, but education around nutrition. So Extension began getting those USDA funds in 1998, and that's how Fabiola's program is funded today. So in 98, Extension began with their SNAP Ed funding, and today we have 7 nutrition educators like Fabiola working in Kenosha and Racine. And what do? They utilize evidence-based nutrition education and target it to low to moderate income individuals. So Fabiola, we'll just pause there. So like, what does that look like? You're federally funded to reach low to moderate income individuals with nutrition education. What does that look like? Where do you go and how do you do your work?
So we work with a lot of, we work from age 3 to, I will say like 93. It's like we are across the board teaching and talking to individuals of all ages. Again, the curriculum that we use is a research-based curriculum, so there everything is age-appropriate, and we could be doing a lesson on a specific topic about different amounts of food, what kinds of foods, or we could be doing a recipe or helping the food pantries, like push out the quinoa that no one wants, and how, you know, people, they are very... A lot of times people or families lack the skills to prepare food from scratch. So we come in and we literally just take them by the hand and say, you know, this is how you handle a knife. And this is how you, yeah, because later on people sometimes don't know how to handle knives.
Or they don't have knives with them at their house because they're living in a car.
Yes.
Something to that effect.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's not just for the people that are low income. I mean, I had one time, just quick a story, was working at Shalom. We had volunteers, student volunteers from Parkside, and we were doing a food demonstration. So I handed him a knife and I said, here's a cutting board, here's a knife. You know, everybody's doing something. I'm just kind of like checking everybody's doing it okay. And I gave him a head of lettuce, assuming myself that he knows he's a college student. He should know how to chop a lot of bread. So I come back and he's still holding the knife and he said, I've never done this in my life. So, you know, a lot of experiences we provide to the families and to the individuals that participate in our programs. And I think that is there's a richness, you know, when everybody gets together and shares their experiences, shares what they know, you know, because a lot of the education that we do is not prescriptive, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, you're doing it wrong, I'm telling you how to do it right, type thing. It's more like we build on, you know, whatever they already know, we kind of meet them where they're at. and trying to teach them, you know, a thing or two. And sometimes it takes years. You know, I've been lucky enough to be able to see people 10, 15 years after the I met them, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm making these because they teach you how to do that. And these are people that come from the shelter sometimes, and they remember me, and they said, yeah, I met you at the shelter center, and you taught us how to make, you know, whatever, ex food. And it is really, I mean, that is one of the things that unfortunately sometimes when there's this type of education, you don't get to see the outcome because it's kind of like those ripples when you're first on, and you never know where it's going to go or where it's taking you. But the education that we provide has been enriching lives, you know, and people are getting shot for a long, long time. And it is, to me, for doing this work for such a long time, it has been a very rewarding experience. And I continue to do it every day for the best, the next 20 years, I'll do it again, all over, you know, because it is such a rewarding experience. And I know that people are benefiting from these programs. Again, children, elderly, physical activity, we kind of like bring everything together and move them over there. So it is close to my heart.
Fabiola is notorious in the sense of, like, she can walk into a food pantry or a meal site and say, what do we have in the shelves? And what can we create with it? I mean,
Absolutely. It's
like treating people, yeah, like you say, meeting them where they're at to say,
yes,
we don't need to have $100 worth of products specially geared towards a recipe. Let's work with what we have.
Which is what happens when people go to food pantries. You know, they not all the time are able to pick the food that they get, but, you know, it's just kind of working into that creativity, like, what can we do with this, and help them think through. And for me, you know, it's a win-win because I teach them how to use, and for the food pantries to have us there as a free program to them, you know, and having and helping these individuals to say, yeah, you need some of that because I tasted it. I do food demos, and when the people are waiting for instance to get their food or to shop for their food, they're tasting this food, and so once they go inside, they're like, yeah, I'm gonna take these and these because this is, you know, we hand them a recipe with the nutritional facts, and we always try to focus on, you know, staying on the healthy, you know, healthy side of the recipes. So this is a free program, and we are always trying to make more connections in the community with the food pantries. And we're helping the food pantries and the food bank to push, the food pantries to push out all of those foods that people might not know how to prepare or might not want.
Right. So that's just a snapshot of what Fabiola's done through FoodWise in Extension. And then in 2016, I mean, even though we've been doing nutrition education in Kenosha County through Extension since 98, mm-hmm. in 2016, the county executive came to Extension and said, we have got a problem that food pantry executive directors are undercutting each other, competing for scarce resources, and it's become a real issue. Like, they're competing for grants. We need to figure out what this conflict is all about. He asked the county exec asked Extension to go in and do some sort of like conflict management. Well, that was 2016, and I'm still working out how to improve what is a very, very, very complex challenge among food pantries. And it really comes down to the fact they cannot control the products that they get, so they blame each other for having better donors, and you get all the food, we get whatever. There's a lot of conflict between all these pantries. So the only thing that I've come away with since 2016 is, until we can control for quality and ensure that pantries get what they want, they're going to continue to fight. The only way to ensure that food pantries have what they want is by creating a food bank. So, what is the difference between a food bank and a pantry? Does anyone know? Yeah.
My understanding is that a bank is kind of like a warehouse, a distribution center that sends it out to individual locations.
Exactly. So the pantry connects with the clients that Fabiola knows. The pantry has the people coming in off the street taking food. Banks are a level above. They don't work with clients directly. Their customer is the pantry. They are fully a warehouse. Conceive of them, a food bank is very different than a pantry because a bank serves pantries. They do not serve clients. Is that clear? Yeah. So we just want to use the proper term here, and as we talk about what a Kenosha County food bank is, we have to make sure that it's different than a pantry. We're not creating a new pantry. We're creating an entirely separate infrastructure that will change the way pantries work. So in 2016, as I said, that's when I started working with these pantries, and I started realizing, okay, we've got some major issues that are systemic. We pursued a study with Hunger Task Force out of Milwaukee that they did all kinds of interviews for us with pantries, and we understood that why people are fighting so much and why it's so contentious. And basically Hunger Task Force drew the conclusion that a food bank makes sense in a community our size, that we're going to continue to have all these problems until we figure out an independent food bank. Then I started working, what does it take to create a food bank? Is it a nonprofit? Is it a for-profit? What does it look like? Bringing people to the table from public sector, private sector, nonprofits, philanthropic sectors, writing for grants, trying to figure out how do we create this new organization that we don't have here. Well, in 2019, I finally found out we do have the leadership, and they do understand, the county executive being a proponent for this for years, we do have the political will to create a new organization called the Kenosha County Food Bank that would support all the pantries. I was calling meetings of all these different leaders from across the county, and we called it an advisory board, and slowly in 2019, it was clear that there is political will here, but we have a long way to go. So then became March 2020. Pandemic shut down. We had worked for months convening a board to launch a new nonprofit called the Kenosha County Food Bank in March of 2020. And sure enough, the pandemic shut us down by the 17th of March when we were going to have our very first inaugural board of directors meeting. So again, we're paralyzed. Like, do we just call it off? Like, there's too much that we don't know. Well, we decided we're going to go forward. We had 11 board members. Fabiola is one of the founding members. I was one of the founding members. Terry came on later. But nonetheless, slowly but surely, we got the support from volunteers in the community that said, we want to do this. Let's try to make it happen. So we became a 501c3. And then we began working very formally with a pantry network. So that slide above, you know, with all the numbers from the pantries, that's seven pantries that have MOUs with this Kenosha County Food Bank that are essentially recipients of our products when we get there. Right now, they're sourcing anywhere, anyhow that they can. Eventually, when we are fully optimized, we will be their provider. And they will not need to scramble and scrap for all their resources. But we're getting there. The story continues. By 2020 April, this is when everything is going crazy with supply chains, and there's so much food coming through because all the schools are closed, and there's all these contracts that aren't being filled, all these farmers that are having to euthanize their pigs, and all the supply chains going crazy. We just started actually distributing food in mobile pantry sort of format. We'd go out into parking lots and give away boxes of free, very, very high quality foods that was funded federally, but we did all kinds of events, serving customers or clients directly, car side, if you will, just gave that a whirl, trying to get some traction and our name out into the community. realized that, okay, this is only going to get us so far, but it was really helpful at the time. We continued to look for options to raise funds and to open a facility of our own. We continue to look at options for facilities. We do not have our own facility yet. And then we miraculously received two large grants. Due to the pandemic, you know, opportunities came forward to apply for grants. We received $117,000 from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, DATCAP, to buy a refrigerated truck. Now we have a mobile food bank on wheels. And we got $25,000 from a Kloss Charitable Trust grant that we could hire. And that brings us even to 2021, where we took another huge step forward and we formalized contracts with Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin and the Racine County Food Bank. So Racine County has their act together in this respect already, and they are incubating Kenosha County Food Bank right now. So through this contract, we pay Racine County Food Bank to distribute food on our behalf, park our equipment, allow us to store equipment there. They are basically the Kenosha County Food Bank, you know, the house for us right now as we get our bearings. But it allows us to get to work and serve Kenosha County pantries. And then with Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, it's massive organization nationwide, and it just brings us validity and legitimacy, and we are going to be working closely with them to secure product and distribute to their network. So with the time that remains, you know, I want to allow questions, because I know we jumped around and I threw a lot at you, but before we go into questions, I just thought I'm going to summarize some of the ways that constituents and community leaders can help food security issues improve here in Kenosha County, and that's by helping the Kenosha County Food Bank. Subscribing to our website will get you our monthly updates and our newsletter. I already forwarded out the email. You can take a look at that whenever you'd like, but we do those monthly and share news and information. We have a subscriber list of like 250 people that, you know, get our information, find out information about all the pantries and new programs and how to access, you know, emergency services, etc. So take a look at that newsletter and definitely let me know if you like it or think it could be improved. We do that monthly. Secondly, this is huge for Kenosha County supervisors to know about. We, as Kenosha County Food Bank, are still looking for a warehouse. We need 10,000 square feet. That's not a lot of space. We need the clearance to go three high with pallets. So depending on the height, we may not even need 10,000 square feet. If we can go three high, we should be okay with 10,000, but maybe it's 15,000. Nonetheless, we're looking at different warehousing spaces. And when the job center, the Health and Human Services building, was up for kind of a budget item to relocate to Sun Plaza in the city of Kenosha, we were at the table to say, there is leasable space in that building, and we want to be your leasee. We will pay you to have our warehouse at that building. So you will be hearing more certainly about the job center relocation. I'm not sure what other committees you're on, but this is really key. I've been working with John Jansen for years, and Ray Arbit knows about this for years, but basically John Jansen said, we're going to start working on like the actual layout and program focus of the relocated Health and Human Services building in 2022. That's when they'll be seriously engaging with potential leases, right? But John also suggested that it's really up to Bear Development at the outset, who's going to own that property, to kind of work with us. So whatever this looks like, I just want to make sure that the county board knows that we want to lease that space. Thirdly, consider how or if Kenosha County could engage as a funder of this project. There are grant funds that come through for emergency services. How does it look? This is a public good. What does it look like to get behind the food bank as our public sector certainly has the win-win public benefit here in this project? Connect with other community leaders to increase awareness of the gap in this comprehensive system for food security. 4, you can volunteer at any of our network pantries. If you want to get out there and see what the need is, hear the stories of those people working, like Fabiola, every day on the front lines trying to connect with some of our most vulnerable populations. Get into the volunteer role at the pantries. And finally, champion a brighter future that achieves a comprehensive countywide strategy to address food insecurity. Make Kenosha County a leader in this field. We can do better than what we've got. We just need to look to the future and plan for the future.
Amy, can I interject a second?
Yeah.
I think what is surprising to me about Kenosha is that we are larger than our neighbor Racine in terms of population. We've seen 12.5% growth in our population due to all the infrastructure and commercial development, and yet we don't serve our community with something as basic as food security because we do not have a food pantry.
Food bank,
thank you very much. And so here we are at this distribution hub, and so what makes a food bank critical is, as Fabiola will share, we're trying to educate folks on how to eat better, higher quality food. Typically, when you're talking about that type of food, it requires refrigeration. So if you think about just the implications of refrigerations for pantries, it's very expensive, both from the standpoint of procurement, maintenance, utility costs. So a bank can control that food because that food needs to be stored, maintained at a constant temperature. They don't even often have refrigeration trucks, which is why it was critical for us to become that mobile bank. But these are all the reasons why a bank becomes that optimizer of a system in order to access the food, because in Kenosha County, there's actually a tremendous amount of food because of all the food distribution companies that exist along the corridor. The problem is a large percentage, the majority of that, is actually leaving the state because we don't have the consolidated resources to collect that food. The pantries are too small to absorb the volume. It's inefficient for the donors to try to deliver to all these individual pantries. So all this food actually escapes the system, which is really, really quite unfortunate because we have the skill sets within our community as a distribution hub and as a food distribution hub to do better. So I just want to kind of reinforce the linkages as we try to ensure people have better quality food and are educated on how to, you know, work and eat better food. A bank is critical to ensuring that the pantries can do their jobs much more efficiently and better.
Who in the public, and I guess maybe I'm naive, but I don't know if you two, did you know we needed a food bank? Did you ever hear this come up at County Board? I mean, I know we had the shelters and all of this. I never knew we needed a warehouse to have a food bank. I don't know why I didn't know.
Well, in conversations with Amy in particular, I've been aware of it over the last couple of years.
But it is small. I mean, Supervisor Beth, you're not wrong, because we do not have hired staff, except for the contract with Racine County Food Bank. We don't have an executive director. We are now a board of 13 very committed board members, Terry and Fabiola and myself being 3. We are all volunteer working board members that are trying to bootstrap a brand new organization. We don't have a warehouse of our own yet, and we don't have an executive director. We simply don't have the resources yet to do so. So I'm not surprised that you haven't heard from us, because people may not necessarily, A, know that there's even a difference between a pantry and a bank, and B, not have any sense that we need this, and that we have something nascent, that we've built the foundation to do this. We've got the leadership. We just need the resources now to make it happen. So if you can help us think through, like, how do we better convey this, particularly to our political leadership? Because I can't imagine that people, if they understand the issue at hand, that they wouldn't understand the opportunity also at hand.
And I think, truth be told, the last year and a half there's been a plethora of food available to all communities, not just Kenosha. And the question is being able to ensure that that gap is bridged when those funds no longer exist. And you're not alone in meeting with corporate and community executives. There's an assumption that a community of our size would have this system in place. Or the existing pantries like Shalom and Sharing and all the others have done a very, very good job. What we're trying to do is take this whole system to a higher level, relieve some of the pressure on the food side from the pantries so that they can work on other critical areas to address poverty holistically. And so that's kind of the systemic change that's taking place. As Amy said, we're continuing to raise awareness. We've only recently started social media and PR to kind of get this message out. And in 2022, we will be officially launching a capital campaign where we will be going out to corporations, local foundation companies like Snap-on and Jockey and others in the community to make sure that they're aware. And I think I kind of described this, even in Kenosha County, United Way's presence is different than it is in other communities. And so I just think that there's a learning curve for our county to really understand the needs in the community. The community's changing. A lot of new organizations are coming to Kenosha, and it's just making everyone aware that we just, you know, we can do this, and we can fill, we can bridge this gap. But most people don't even know the gap exists.
I've seen food banks, you know, they show them on television, and from Milwaukee on the news, they show them, and I just assume that this is where Kenosha County got the thing from, the Milwaukee Food Bank.
Well,
I thought it was a district thing.
Good point. So what you're probably seeing out of Milwaukee is the Hunger Task Force. That is their food bank. It's massive, but it covers only Milwaukee County. There's a second massive food bank called Feeding America, Eastern Wisconsin, that does cover Kenosha County. But it is completely unmanaged. So pantries pay for the food that they shouldn't have to pay for because it's coming out of Kenosha County to start with. And there's no accountability on the safety side. Do we know that the food is being refrigerated properly? That we know, you know, there's no accountability structures with Feeding America to this point. Plus, they don't control for healthy food to the extent that we will prioritize with the Kenosha County Food Bank. We don't need sheet cakes. We don't need soda. We don't need Twinkies coming through the food pantries when we are talking about healthy food for all. We need to be able to control for that quality. So now that we have a contract, specifically Kenosha County Food Bank, with Feeding America that does cover our region, now we're fully integrated. We already have a food bank here, but it is very unwieldy, and it's not addressing the issues that we know exist here. So it's the best of both worlds. We can have the brand, the scope of Feeding America, but we're going to have local control through the Kenosha County Food Bank.
Well, how does, I belong to the 4 KR Catholic parishes, and we have one Sunday a month that starts now in January again, Sharing Sunday. And I just assumed that this went to the Sharing Center, this money.
That could be. So the Sharing Center is a pantry. They work very closely with the food bank. Sharon Palmaville, their executive director, is one of my closest partners. She's one of the best pantries we have out there because she does do the service referrals. So you probably are supporting the Sharing Center, which is perfect. We're not asking people to stop supporting their pantries. We're looking for a both and because we need to do better by the whole of the county. Sharing Center is never going to be able to touch the 25,000 people annually that are accessing pantries. They just don't have the capacity. Yeah.
I know we got a later start, but we only have a couple of minutes to our next meeting.
Yeah.
So we probably need to finish up this transition to our director and any other pressing program updates, and then conclude this meeting.
Sure.
So I'm sorry to rush us, because I know we did get a later start, and this is a vitally important topic. But
thanks, Daniel. Yeah. It's all good. So do you want the supervisor report?
Director report?
A director report?
Yes, please. Or are there any other pressing program updates that we need to know about, from other than...
From the other programs, I am not aware of.
Okay. So we're not aware of any items for number three, then we'll just go right to agenda number four, our final item, the director update.
Yep. So the director updates so far, the 4-H position, I think you may have heard that our 4-H coordinator position was a failed search, but HR is going to repost it, I believe, this week. So we're going to put it back out there. If any of you know of educators, anyone interested in working with youth and volunteers, it's a very, very challenging position, but it is so, so important to our mission to really resource the 4-H role. So, yeah, so that 4-H position will be reposted this week. I'll go ahead and just share it with everyone on, just so that you can post it to your respective social media, whatever. We need to help recruit a strong pool. In addition to that, Terry is currently in Madison because she's getting some advanced training on staff performance reviews. So, yeah, basically we're instituting some new systems on, like, reviewing staff and performance management systems and that sort of thing. That's all that Terry gave me for her updates.
Okay, good. Well, Terry, Fabiola, I appreciate you ladies both, not only your work in our community, but coming and sharing that with our committee. So thank you. Amy, thank you for presenting the need. And we'll do what we can as a committee and as board members to help educate other leaders in the community of the need for something like this. So,
great.
All right, well, if there's nothing else from anybody else, then we'll pause this meeting. We'll head into the next room and get ready for that. All right.